what's going on in especially Eastern Asia countries. OMF has for many years focused on China, its original founder being Hudson Taylor himself. What was OMF called before it was called OMF? China Inland Mission, CIM. And, you know, they continue to have a broad impact, a broad outreach. And we need to be a part of this. We have seen the need, the need in these places. I don't want that to leave us this year. We must hang on to that and see that vision. Last night I shared with you that, that Macedonia vision that Paul had. People saying, come and help us. And they felt compelled to go and give them the gospel. We must hang on to that this year. Last year, we were not as faithful as we must be. Okay? To tell you the truth. To tell you the truth, we were not as faithful in missions as we must be. Today, I am asking you to have a part in missions. This is between you and God, but have a part. I encourage the children, have a part in missions. I know they don't make much money, but a part to develop a heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. If you give nothing to missions, guess what? You're not going to have a big heart for missions. Right? That's the truth. Develop a heart for missions. We need to be faithful this year. Last year, our missions pledge was $55,000. We gave something over $38,500. There's a discrepancy there. And it's a discrepancy that we need to repent of and move on from here. Let's be faithful. Today, I want to talk to you about some principles of sowing and reaping as we finish up this series on examining our worldview. Principles of sowing and reaping. I want to give you an illustration of sowing and reaping. There was an old preacher dying. He was a preacher who had been faithfully following the Lord for many, many years. He was on his deathbed. He sent a message for a tax collector, his tax collector that he dealt with, and a lawyer, his lawyer, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his room. As they entered the room, the preacher, the old preacher, held out his hands and motioned for them to sit down on each side of the bed. The preacher grasped their hands, sighed contentedly, smiled and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the tax agent and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the old preacher asked them to be with him in his final moments. They were also puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he particularly liked either of them, having had more than running with them along life's way. Finally, the lawyer said, "Preacher, why did you ask the two of us to come?" The old preacher mustered up some strength and said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves. And that's how I want to go too." I'm sorry to pick on lawyers this morning. For those of you who are from that field, I am sorry about that. That's how I want to go too. Today I want to talk to you about sowing and reaping. First of all, I want to point out that the law of sowing and reaping is a universal law. A universal law. Can I take off my jacket? It's kind of warm and stuffy. The law of sowing and reaping is a universal law. It's not just applicable to people within this church. It is a universal law. Just as we have other laws, a very common law that, you know, will come up is the law of gravity. It exists. It is universal. It is not partial to any persons. It applies to all. You jump off a building, you're going to fall. There's other laws. There's laws that counter the law of gravity, like the laws of aerodynamics. An airplane flies up in the sky. Does it break the law of gravity? No. It uses other laws. And I don't want to go into trying to explain all that. I don't understand all that. But it uses other laws. Laws of aerodynamics. I tell my kids, keep your hands away from the stove. You stick your hand in a fire, there's a law that's going to take place. You're going to get burned. Stick your hand in the fire, you're going to get burned. You go run out in traffic, you're going to get run over. There's just certain things that are universal. And the law of sowing and reaping is one of those universal laws that we have to know, we have to remember. Turn with me to Galatians 6, verse 8. It further expands this law a little bit. When it says, the one who sows to his sinful nature, sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You have destruction, you have life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's pray, and at this time I want to ask God to lead us this morning. God, I pray that the Spirit would have total freedom in this room and total permission to work on our hearts, to examine our hearts. As we take a look again at this law of sowing and reaping, God, I pray that the Spirit, the sword, would have complete freedom to cut away anything that needs to be cut out of our lives, that You would examine us thoroughly, and that we would have the courage, the conviction, and the desire to give ourselves over to You. That we would be willing to change, be willing to repent, be willing, Lord, to follow You, to see things in a different way as we leave here today. Move us today, Lord, as we wrap up our mission's emphasis. Help us to understand the relationship of the law of sowing and reaping in regards to what we do in missions. In Jesus' name, amen. He who sows to a sinful nature will of that reap destruction. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap good things. You sow to a sinful nature, you reap bad things. So I want to suggest to you this morning that if you're sitting here right now and you can say, my life really stinks right now, I want you to examine what you've been sowing. What is it that you have been sowing? Have you been sowing to the Spirit? Have you been sowing to the sinful nature of the flesh? If your life stinks, maybe it's because there's a fruit, there's a harvest of things that have been sown. The path of sin, and I want you to listen to me, especially some of you younger adults, younger people, teenagers, children. The path to sin is usually a slow one. You don't go leaping into great, evil, terrible, life-destroying, destructive sins that are going to kill people. It doesn't happen. But you do take one little step at a time in the wrong direction. And you sow little seeds at a time. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. It's nothing big. It doesn't seem big, but you allow things in your life that you should not allow. And as the years go by, you begin to allow things in your life that years ago you would never have dreamed of. But it doesn't seem like a big step at that time, because you followed little steps, little seeds here and there. And maybe you don't realize it at the time. Maybe you're a teenager here right now and you're not really listening. And you're not really perhaps even agreeing that you reap anything that you sow. And you say, I've been sowing a lot of things and that hasn't caught up with me yet. And I want to suggest to you that the operative term is that word yet, because the Bible says whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If your life stinks, maybe you need to examine the things that you've been sowing. If you want a good life, I want to suggest that you need to start planting the right seeds. Start planting the right seeds. Start doing things and focusing your life on God's pattern for living. Salvation is a wonderful thing. But salvation is not purely, you know, a home in heaven and we just have to rough it through this until we get to heaven. God has a plan and an excellent life for you if you will follow His plan. But you cannot be sowing bad seeds, seeds of destruction, seeds of the sinful nature, and expect a good outcome. It doesn't work that way. You cannot have one foot in the world and in sin and one foot in trying to have a relationship with God and expect to be blessed. So where are you right now? Is your life a blessed life? Are your relationships blessed relationships? Your marriage, is it a good marriage? If the answer is no, examine what you've been planting along the way. And maybe you need to take a few steps backwards, repent of some things, and start planting the good seeds, doing things God's way. Today I want to focus most of the attention on what we're doing for the kingdom. What investments are we making for eternity? And so I'm going to give us some principles of sowing and reaping. Many of these, you may say, I already know this, and that's okay. I'm not claiming that this is, you know, something that nobody's ever heard. In fact, there's some pretty basic stuff. But the funny thing is about Christians is they forget some of the basic stuff. And they start slipping, and they start drifting, and they start going with the flow. And we need to be reminded once in a while of some of the very basic things of God's Word. And this is some of them. The principles of sowing and reaping. Number one is forget about last year's crop and focus on this year's. Forget about last year's crop and focus on this year's. This applies to us as a church and what we've done in missions. It applies personally. Some of you are so stuck in the past that you cannot do anything for God in the future and now. Some of you are still so hung up with hurt and pain and sin that you have allowed in your life in the past that's already been dealt with. That's already been dealt with by Christ. And perhaps He's forgiven you, but you've never moved on. Nor can we look at things that we've done for the Lord in the past, good things, and say, I've done my part. Enough is enough. Last year, I gave to missions. I've done my part. That's enough. We can't do that. We can't do that. We've seen the need. And as Hudson Taylor saw the need for the people in China, and he saw the millions that are dying every year, and the millions more that had never heard of the name of Jesus Christ, he couldn't stop and say, I've done enough this year. And he would pray and pray and pray, and he'd say, God, I need 200 more missionaries. We need 200 more here. On Wednesday we had Brother Payne from Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He came and shared with us. He shared with us the vision of OMF. They met, and they have a big meeting every 3 years in Singapore, and they met this year. And they have a vision of over the next 5 years, 900 more missionaries in OMF. There are currently 1,100 missionaries. I understand. Am I right? 1,100 missionaries. There are currently 1,100. They're praying for 900 more. And he even told me, he said, Ken, it's not like in 5 years we're going to have 2,000. He says, because some are shorter term, some are going to retire. We need to not only make up what we're losing, but we need to add more too. And he says, in 5 more years, that's going to be 1,400 or 1,500 missionaries total. They're praying for 900 more. That's their goal. That's their target. And they're trusting by faith that God is going to provide that need. And by the way, I want to ask you the simple question, where do missionaries come from? Where do they come from? Warren came and shared with us on Wednesday. He was a missionary in Japan for 26 years. He served in Japan for 26 years. He's a Kiwi guy, and he and his wife, you know, left everything and by faith served and planted churches in Japan. Where did missionaries come from? Where did Warren come from? Churches. Not here, but churches. Missionaries come from you. This is where they're developed. This is where they surrender and say, I'll go. Here I am, send me. We can't look at the past and say we've done enough. Philippians 3 verse 13, Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I'm not going to look back at the bad things, at the good things. It doesn't matter. That's past right now. I have to press on toward the mark. There's a finish line ahead, and God's called me to a race. He's given me a purpose. He's given me a plan. I don't want to slack off. I can't say I've done enough. I don't know about you, but Paul, to me, and seeing all the influence that he had, all the churches that he had started, all the letters of the Bible that he wrote to influence the work of Christianity, I could understand him saying, I've done enough. It's time for me to sit back and retire. I'm going to let some of the younger ones do all the work. But he didn't. You couldn't stop him. Even in prison and chains, he's writing letters to the churches. He's encouraging. He's making plans. He's praying. He wanted to get out and go and visit some of these churches that desperately needed encouragement and built up. You couldn't stop him. He had to be killed before he would stop preaching and teaching the Word of God. That was the passion in his life. He says, though, I'm not looking back. I got to look forward. There's still work to be done. As long as I'm breathing, as long as God has given me ability, I'm willing to continue on because there are still people out there who are lost. And I want to suggest to you, as long as God has blessed you, He's given you work, He's given you a country of freedom, He's given you money, He's given you resources, more than most of the world. As long as we have breath, we need to keep looking forward. God, there's still people who need to be saved. We've seen the countries, we've been challenged with the number of people who still don't even know the name of Jesus. Last week, we heard Brother Brian from GFA tell us places in India that they've been. And the kids there know of Nike, and they know of Coca-Cola. They know these names, but they never heard of Jesus. They never heard of Jesus. As long as there's people like that, we have to continue to look forward. There's too much to do to look back. Hudson Taylor began sowing seeds when he went to China. And he went for 7 years before he saw one person put their faith and trust in Jesus. 7 years. In the words that he said when that person came to know him as Savior was, if this was all that came from his sacrifice, it would have been worth it. If this was all that it came, it would have been worth it. But he didn't stop there. He didn't say, I've led my person to Christ. He saw the millions that still haven't heard. And he pursued and he continued. Each of us needs to ask, God, what do you want me to do now? What is it that you want me to do now? God, if you want me to go, I'm willing. And I want you to know, I'm willing. I was telling Casey yesterday, man, after this week, I feel led to go to China myself. But it would take me too long to learn the language and learn everything, and God has me here. And I'm okay with that. We have Chinese here that we need to reach, amen? And there's more Chinese here that we need to reach too. But maybe some of those Chinese will end up either by God's providential leading or by their own choice, go back and say, I'm going to do a work for God back in China. I need to go. Are you willing? I'm willing. I want you to be willing. God may not send you, He may, but are you willing? And every one of us, if you say, I am a child of God, I am bought by Jesus Christ, every one of us must go or we must send. But there is no third option. We must go or we must give to others who are doing it and going. What are you going to do? God, what do you want me to do this year? First principle, let's forget about last year's. Second principle, the soil that you plant in determines the kind of harvest you have. Jesus said there are four types of soil in Luke 8. I want to share this with you. Jesus told this parable in Luke 8, verse 4. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the hard path, the trampled on hard ground path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Those stinking weeds, I hate them. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Question, what is this seed? What is Jesus talking about? What is the seed? It's not hard. It's this. God's Word. The Word of God. The Gospel. However you want to put it. Each of us in this room falls into one of these four categories. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. Each of us in this room is going to fall into one of these four categories when we hear God's Word. And I want you to be willing and pray in your heart, ask yourself, God, ask God, which of these categories do I fall into when it comes to your Word? The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but it takes no root. It gets trampled on. The devil comes, he steals it away, prevents them from believing. They're hard. There's nothing for it to take root with. You can might as well be talking to the wall. They're not listening. They're not hearing. They're not receptive. You ever talk to somebody like that? You can talk to them about politics. You can talk to them about all kinds of topics. But you mention God and all of a sudden they're hardened up. They want nothing to do with it. The second is the rocky soil. And it represents those who hear the message with great joy, but like young plants in very thin soil with rock, you know, the roots don't go very deep. And so while it springs up and they're all excited, they're, you know, yahoo, praise Jesus, praise God, it doesn't take very long and the hot sun comes and the wind comes and it blows them away. They dry up and blow away. They do not stand the testing. There's nothing deep. There's nothing rooted. That's why a part of our work as a church is to disciple, to teach, and to give you guys some roots that you can hang on to. We're not just about, you know, airy, fairy, floaty, praise Jesus kind of stuff. I like praising the Lord. But it's not just a feel-good session. You need to have some roots. Because we live in a real world. We live in a real sinful world. And there's going to be tests and storms. And when they come, if you don't have anything more than some praise Jesus choruses, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We need Christians. God needs Christians with roots. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by cares and riches and pleasures of life. You know what I'm talking about. I've seen this many times. I've seen this many times. In a moment of desperation and difficulties, you know, I need God. Jesus, I need you. In a time of blessing and wealth and abundance, where are they? Where are they? When your pursuit of things becomes greater than your pursuit of God, you're in trouble. When your pursuit of materialism becomes greater than your pursuit of the things of God, your life is out of balance and is waiting for a catastrophe to happen. Maybe it hasn't happened, but it's going to happen. And I want to say one thing. You don't have to be wealthy and rich to be materialistic. I've seen dirt poor people be materialistic. It's the strangest thing. You don't have to be wealthy to be materialistic. I've also seen, listen to me, I've seen people who are well off, but they're not materialistic. Okay? It's where your heart is. It's where your heart is. The good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear the Word of God. They do it. They don't just hear it. And it develops strong roots of conviction in their life. And they cling to it steadily. And it produces a great harvest. They do what God made them to do. They fulfill their purpose in life. They fulfill their mission in life. There's no greater joy than to do what God made you to do. Why we have the theme Catching the Wave this year is because there is a great harvest out there. God's Word is producing a crop. And I want us as a church to focus our energies into where this crop is. Jesus at one time told His disciples, look out at the field, they're wide unto harvest. But there's nobody out there harvesting. And we see fields in Asia. We see fields in India and other countries. And we see that they're wide unto harvest. We see people receptive, ready, like that person from Macedonia saying, come and help us. We have limited resources at IBC. We're not unlimited. We cannot, you know, send out millions to this part of the world, millions to that part of the world. And so because we have limited resources, we need to focus our energies and catch the waves that God has sent. Places that we see there's people who are literally dying to hear the gospel, and there's people that are ready to go and tell them if they have the ability and resources to do that. That's what we want to focus ourselves on. That's the target that we're trying to have this year. Not only that, but there's a whole field that has yet to be sown with the Word. I was reading a staggering statistic that in Western Christianity, some 95% of our missions giving, our missions resources are going to places that already have the gospel witness, while only 5% are going to the places that have none. That's lopsided. That's lopsided. We need to be catching the wave. We need to be putting our energies, our limited resources, into the places that don't have that yet. The soil determines the kind of harvest you're going to have. First of all, look at your own life. Which soil is representing you? Is it the hardened one? Is it the rocky one? There's excitement, there's a buzz there for a while, all of a sudden it kind of leaves, there's nothing, there's no root. Is it the thorny one? Has your life become crowded out with the pursuit of pleasure, which we call hedonism, the pursuit of wealth and materialism? Which soil represents you? The third principle, a seed, this is one I'm giving for free. A seed has to be planted to have a harvest. You understand that? Aren't you glad you came this morning for that alone? You have to plant something to get something. Amen? Without planting a seed, you cannot expect to receive any kind of harvest. It's a principle established by God in the physical and in the spiritual world. If you want corn to grow, you must plant a corn seed. How many gardeners do we have in the room? Not very many. We're a church with this many Asians. I know Asians don't garden a lot. They prefer the kind of lawns that are rocks, you know, and you don't have to mow them. I've seen their houses. Now, some of you have, you know, really adapted to, garden culture here. It's a wonderful place to do gardening. I think Casey, I went over to his house yesterday and whacked out some of his plants for my own, and he didn't have a problem with it. But you plant a seed, you expect something. You plant a tomato seed, what do you want to get? A tomato. If you want to be loved, what seeds do you plant? You have to learn to love others. If you're sitting there right now saying, nobody loves me, I have no friends here, guess what? You need to start planting some seeds. Plant the seeds. The Bible itself says a man wants to have friends, he must first show himself to be friendly. So if you're sitting here saying, I have no friends here, nobody cares here, think about planting a seed. If you want to be healthy, if you desire, you know, good health, you don't eat at McDonald's every day, John Felton. Just kidding. I know you don't eat the garbage every day. You don't eat at McDonald's every day. You eat healthy food. You plant the right seeds. You expect the results. We have seeds that we plant too. And this year I'm encouraging you to plant them. Plant them. In Philippians 4:16, Paul, again. By the way, Paul was a missionary, right? He was a missionary. He went out, he established churches, he taught the people, he built them up. In Philippians 4:16, for even in Thessalonica, he tells the Philippians, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. You supported me. You sent me gifts. You sent me money. He says, not that I seek the gift. It's not that I'm just interested in the money, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So he said, you guys have been planting some seeds. And there's going to be fruit. And it's going to be credited to your account. He says, when you go to heaven, when you stand in heaven, there's going to be people there. From the missionary trips that I took, from the churches that I started, from the people that were brought to Christ, and because you gave, there's going to be fruit that's going to be credited to you. You're going to stand before God, and there's going to be fruit. People are going to say, I'm here partly because of your heart and your giving. And that's an eternal benefit. That's an eternal joy. No bank can offer that for your money. You're not going to get to heaven and say, I want my investment from the bank, you know. I put a lot of money away. I stashed it away. I got millions there. Now, let's see the interest. You don't take it. But you will get there. There's going to be fruit because of the seeds that you planted.
Paul was a missionary. The church in Philippi sent to help with his needs because he was willing to go. Not all of them can go. They were reaching their area, but they sent. They sent so that he can do the work. That's what missions is about. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? A seed has to be planted. Fourth principle. This is another big one that's worth it. And it's also for free. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Let it sink in. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow weeds in your house, guess what you're going to get? A nice bumper crop of weeds. The other day, we went to our good brother Hinder's house. And on the left side, he has these beautiful plants. A lot of beautiful plants, easy grow plants. And he had these weeds that were about this tall as well. And I tell you what, it looked like he had planted them and watered them and trimmed them up. I'm just kidding, it wasn't that bad. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You didn't sow that, did you? It came anyway. You sow tomatoes, you get tomatoes. You know what I want to sow? I want to sow stuff that has an eternal reward. That's what I want to sow. Stuff that has an eternal reward, not a temporary one. I want to hear Jesus say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's all I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever you sow, you reap. This is applicable in every area. If you sow stinginess, guess what you reap? Stinginess. You sow generosity. You give generously in all ways. A generous heart is a heart that gives of themselves in all areas. You sow generosity, you reap generosity. You sow gossip. Guess what? Listen, if someone has something to say about somebody else and they come and talk to you and say, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" Guess what? Most likely, you participate in that. Most likely, you're the next one that they're going to be talking about. Be careful. Whatever you sow, you reap. Teenagers, you sow disobedience to parents. Guess what? It comes around. And I'm living that right now. So I'm speaking from experience. Listen to me. I got a teenager myself. And she's a good kid. She's a good kid. I'm not going to say bad things about her. I get in trouble for that. But the truth is, you sow disobedience and it comes back. You sow obedience. You sow love. That comes back to you. You sow discord. A complainer. A whiner. It comes back. It comes back. I've known people in the church even who have complained about all kinds of things. They've been complainers about other leaders in the church. And then the time had come for some leaders to actually become a leader of something themselves. And they come and talk and say, "Man, I can't understand why these people complain so much about things." It's a good lesson, but it's a hard lesson. they have to, you know, to be a good leader, you first have to become a good follower. Be a good follower. You sow generosity, you reap generosity. You sow God's Word. You sow the Gospel either by word of mouth or by giving to others who are also going out and giving the Gospel. It has harvest. God's Word does its work. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And five, you also reap in proportion to what you sow. The fifth principle is the proportion that you sow, that's what you're going to reap. In Luke 6, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is fantastic. You know what this means? This means that you get to actually choose how much God blesses your life by how much you give, how much you bless others, how much you sow, how much you open your hands and extend it out to other people. You get to choose how much God blesses. The measure that you use is going to be measured to you. Often it works both ways. You measure nastiness, you heap it on, you get it back. It's not a good thing. But you sow to the Spirit. You sow the things of God. And the measure that you use is going to be coming back and blessed upon you. This is not prosperity teaching. Don't get me like that. Some of you are looking at me cockeyed. This is Bible. This is Bible. And I'm not telling you that if this year all you got to do is give 100% of your salary to missions this year and God will give you 100% back. Don't do that. Unless God's calling you to do that. Okay? I'm not going to play God. We read in the Bible of the woman at Jesus' feet, the harlot, who broke open a bottle of expensive perfume that cost 1 year's wages. And one apostle looked at that and said, "What a waste. That could have been given to the poor." Remember who that apostle was? Judas. Don't be a Judas. I see some Judases from time to time. When anything spent on anything else is a waste. Anything spent on God is a waste. We got to give it to the poor. We got to, you know. Don't be a Judas. But she gave a year's wages and poured it out lavishly on the feet to anoint Jesus. God led her to do that. Nobody could have told her to do that. Anybody else told her to do that, it would have been wrong. And I'm not telling you what God wants you to do for missions. I can't do that. That is between you and God. But I am just stating here that if God is telling you to give this much, whatever it may be, give that much, and God will bless you. If God's telling you to give a year's wages, you listen to God. God is going to bless you. I don't know how. God blesses you for it. You get to choose the harvest. In closing, I want to say that there is one area where God breaks this cycle of sowing and reaping. One area where the cycle is broken. And that area is when a sinner comes and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We all have sin. Amen. Some more than others. But we all have sin. None of us can say we have not sinned. None of us can say that, you know, we're without sin. And because of sin, there is something that we reap. And the Bible is clear. We reap eternal death. Eternal death in a real and everlasting hell. A place of fire, a place of torment, a place that God does not want you to be at. He didn't make it for you. But sin that is sown in all our lives reaps eternal death. And he says, anyone who comes to him in faith and receives the work of Jesus Christ, that cycle is broken, the cycle of sowing and reaping. And he takes that. He removes the sin. He removes those seeds of sin that have been embedded in your life. And he gives you something new. You're grafted into his branch. He's the vine, we're the branches. And we're grafted into his life, into his family. We're given a new start. No longer are we children of wrath, but we're children of grace, God's grace. And I know in this auditorium, there's some who haven't yet taken God up on his offer. There's some who have yet to take him up on it and receive the free gift. And maybe you're trying to win God's favor by trying to sow good things. But the Bible's clear that until we come and we're grafted into Jesus Christ, we cannot do good things. It doesn't work. We cannot please God by our efforts and the things that we do. In faith, we need to come to him in repentance and say, God, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. Will you receive me as your child? Will you forgive me? Some simple laws of sowing and reaping this morning. I hope that it's taken root in your hearts. In just a couple of moments, I'm going to encourage you to fill in a commitment card. And again, this is for the people who say, IBC is my church family, my home. And I'm going to encourage you to have a part. There's many of you in here that have not had any part in missions, either because you're new and you've never made a commitment before, or some other reason that you've never made a commitment. And I want to encourage you, if you are new to missions, give what God is putting in your heart. And I'm asking you to put down a weekly amount, something that we can count on. In the back of the auditorium, we're going to have we have some extra commitment cards. And we have some pens available. If you need a commitment card, you don't have one in your bulletin, quietly just slip your hand up and Michael will help you out as I'm speaking, okay? If you need a commitment card, you don't have one, or you need a pen, just slip your hand up and somebody will come and attend to you. But listen, from today, we decide what it is that we're going to do for missions. I want us to extend our reach of missions into areas like China, into areas like India, greater, and support missionaries who are there doing the work, and they need the support. I want my money to go to that. But we need to know what we can count on this year. And be faithful. Don't put down $5,000 a week if you're not really planning on fulfilling that commitment. I'd rather you start with something that you know you'll commit than to just be emotional. Don't just put down an emotional number. Do something that you can stick to, that you will commit to, that we can count on this year. Last year we spent $10,000 more, and it's not because we were wasting money. We spent $10,000 more than we took in because we thought we had this much to count on. And we spent less than what we had thought we had to count on. We cannot do that. So put down what you know by God's grace you will commit to in missions. What will you commit to missions? Will you stand with me? While you're doing that,